2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 10, and then chapter 3, verse 18. Let us hear God's word. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those whom through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fail. And then chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forevermore. Amen. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we come now to be fed by Your Word. And so we pray that through the Holy Spirit, You would illumine us, You would open up our eyes, that we may see Your glory. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Infants are totally dependent upon their parents. They need to be protected from harm, especially harm that they can do to themselves. They lack the experience of life. They lack the understanding of how the world works. They lack a knowledge of proper and godly decisions. Now, we don't criticize infants or children because they have a lack of understanding. They're just babes. However, there comes a time when the one who talks like a child, the one who thinks like a child, and the one who reasons like a child must put those childish things behind. And must begin to think and act and talk and reason like an adult. There comes a time when a person should gain a sufficient understanding of themselves and the world. They must come to a place where they understand that fire is attractive and it is very useful. But if it's not handled properly, it'll destroy. They must come to an understanding of electricity, that it is a wonderful servant, but it can be as deadly as the Ark of the Covenant if it's touched. They must learn that the stairs in the house are for walking up, but not for falling down. And though we may excuse a child for doing childish things, yet we don't excuse adults for doing childish things. Therefore, the child must eventually put those childish ways behind him. Assume the responsibilities of being an adult and begin to act like an adult. Same is true for the Christian. At first, the Christian is nothing more than a newborn. He's weak, he's unsteady. Spiritually, he doesn't know his right hand from his left hand. At his new birth, at his regeneration, his nature was changed, yes. But he's just a babe in Christ. He does not possess the discernment that is necessary to lead and guide him through life. We could say that the young Christian is still in spiritual diapers. He's not able to function as a mature Christian. Therefore, the first essential thing that must be done is that this newborn must begin to grow. We're commanded to do this in the Scriptures. Grow in the knowledge and in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. All through the Scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation, all the parables, all the stories, all the metaphors, all the shadows of the things to come point to the fact that growth is expected. The seed in the parable of the sower and the seed, when it's planted in good ground, it grows. The servants, they are expected to take the talents that the master has given to them and to increase what is given to them. The leaven, as it is mixed throughout the dough, causes the dough to rise. Psalm 1. The blessed man delights in God's law, and he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. Whatever he does prospers. Even at the beginning of time, Adam and Eve are not to just sit in the garden and do nothing. They are to go forth, be fruitful, and multiply. Even as God is dealing with sinful people there at the Tower of Babel, he tells them to go forth, be fruitful, and multiply. What the Scriptures clearly teach then is that maturity, that spiritual growth is expected. The very reason for the new birth, the very reason for the seed of God being implanted in us is to bring forth a harvest of good deeds. Listen to what Paul says to the Thessalonians. He says, "It is God's will that you be sanctified." It's God's will that you grow in knowledge and in grace. Suppose I came to you one day and I said, "You know, I'm thinking about robbing a bank." "Roger, what do you think about that? James, what do you think about that? Donald, what do you think about that? Give me some advice. I'm thinking about robbing a bank. Would this be pleasing to God?" Well, hopefully, our elders, and I know they would say, "No. God has said no. God has said no." But yet, when it comes to the idea of growing in the knowledge and in grace of God, we ponder, do I really have to do that? But what do the Scriptures say? You see, it is a direct command. Grow in the knowledge and in grace of Jesus Christ. No parent expects their infant or their child to remain an infant and a child. If a 10-year-old continued to act like a 10-month-old, we would all agree that there's a problem. Well, if a Christian who has been in the family of Christ for years and years and years is still acting like a newborn babe, there's a problem. But in order for spiritual growth to take place, we must be fed. We feed upon the Word of God. As an infant must be taken to the breasts of his mother, we as Christians must be taken to the pure milk of the Word. Peter says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow in your salvation. See, the only way that we can grow as Christians is to feed upon the Word of God. Listen to what Paul again tells the Thessalonians. From the beginning, God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, through belief in the truth. He called you to this through the gospel. Stand firm then and hold to the teachings we passed on to you. Do you get what Paul's saying here? Three times here in rapid succession. Three times he directs the Thessalonians to the Word of God. He says, belief in the truth, calling through the gospel, hold on to the teaching. Three times, rapid succession, he directs the Thessalonians' attention to the Word of God. Paul tells the Romans that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And then he goes on, you find that in chapter 1, and then he goes on in chapter 10 to say that faith comes from hearing the Word. What he means is that faith has its beginning and its growth in hearing the Word of God. As it is preached, as it is taught, as you read it privately in your own home, God's Word does not return void. But when the word goes out, it accomplishes that which God has purposed it to do. Just like when you take food into your mouth and you chew it and you ingest it, it produces that which God has determined for it to produce. It gives you energy. Same with the Word of God. As we feed upon the Word of God, we grow in knowledge and in grace of Jesus Christ. But let me give you several reasons why we need to do this. When people get married, they are obligated to one another. They are obligated to grow together. The groom and the bride, they get married. But as you know, they really don't know each other. It's only after they obligate themselves and commit themselves to one another, and as they grow together, that they come to understand one another. Well, you have been married to Christ. As the bride, it is your job, it is your responsibility to come to know who the bridegroom is. Because receiving the forgiveness, receiving the grace of God, this obligates you to grow in your knowledge of Christ. You receive Christ as your great physician. Your great physician to deal with your deceased soul. The soul that is dead in sin. And you have received Christ as the physician to bring life to you. But how strange it would be that if you had a serious disease and you had chosen the best doctor, the best physician to deal with your disease, that you would then sit home and twiddle your thumbs and be satisfied in knowing that you've chosen the best doctor. But yet never going to the doctor, never taking the medicine that he gives, never following his advice. We would find that absurd. But we have taken Christ as our great physician. As we were studying in Sunday school this morning, there is great spiritual corruption that is still within us. It leads us astray from the cross. And it is only as we study the Word of God that we become aware of who we are. We become aware of who He is and our need for Him. Why would we neglect the advice of the great physician simply because we have a great physician? No. Understanding that Christ is the one who can heal us and strengthen us and help us. Therefore, we are to do what he says to do. And what were two reasons that he sent the apostles out? To make disciples and to baptize. And second, to teach them to observe all things whatsoever he commanded them. So you have been commissioned. You have been commissioned by Christ to learn from him as well as to teach others about him. And here's another thing. Here's another thing as to why you should grow in knowledge and in grace of Jesus Christ. It is to your betterment that you do. Think about this. When a bad providence comes your way, you have a death in the family, or you lose your job and you have a financial crisis, or whatever it may be, how do you respond? How do you respond to bad providence? Will you see your situation through the eyes of Christ? Or will you see your situation through the eyes of the world? Will you interpret your situation through the love of Christ, or will you interpret the love of Christ through your situation? Listen to what the Apostle James says. He says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials." You know, the apostles are not without a little bit of humor here. Consider it pure joy when you face trials. That's hard to do. But listen to what he says. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. You see, trials can only be considered pure joy only when there is a knowledge of the one who brought the providence into your life in the beginning. Jeremiah, the prophet. Boy, nobody would ever want to go through what Jeremiah went through. He had a very tough life. Yet there was something that kept him going. Something that strengthened him that he would persevere through all these difficult trials. Well, he doesn't leave us to guess what it was. He tells us, listen, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. How did Jeremiah keep his peace through all this difficulty? How did he keep his peace through all this great suffering that he went through? He interpreted his situation through the love of Christ. He understood that he was not abandoned. He understood that Christ was with him. He understood that what he was suffering was to the glory of God. You see, the more we study Jesus, the more we understand how he works. Have you ever been to somebody's house and to you it just seems chaotic? I mean, something's going on here, something's going on there, something's going on back there. And you just think, oh my goodness. But then when you come to know that person, you see there's a a reason for this here and for that there and for that over there. Sometimes in our life, it seems chaotic, does it not? But when we study Christ, when we grow in the knowledge of His grace, we can see, you know, there's nothing chaotic here at all. I now understand why he's doing something here. I understand why he's doing something over there. I understand what's happening back there. I understand it because he's revealed it to me in his word. And that knowledge of his grace and mercy brings peace and joy to me. It encourages me to persevere in my situation. When we are faced with situations like that, we need to be reminded that Jesus was faced with situations like that. When Jesus knew it was time for him to go to the cross, what gave him the strength? And the scriptures say that he boldly set out, resolutely set out for Jerusalem. When he knew it was time for him to go to the cross, what gave him a boldness to go to Jerusalem? Let me read it for you. John chapter 13. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God, and that he was going to return to God. You see, Jesus saw clearly the will of the Father, therefore, because of the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He did what the Father asked him to do because he understood that he himself controlled this situation, that the Father had given him authority and power. It is to your benefit that you study God's word, that you grow in knowledge and in grace of Jesus Christ. One of the last things Paul writes to the believers in Rome is this: For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Friend, let me tell you, that's not just written to the Romans. It's written to you. The scriptures are a gift to you from the triune God, to encourage you, to give you hope, to give you comfort, to let the peace that passes all understanding abide with you. Because you have and you will go through difficult times. But if you set it as your priority to grow in the knowledge and in grace of Jesus Christ, you're not going to escape the difficult times. No. You will deal with them not as a child, but as an adult in Christ. You will clearly see that this is for my sanctification. It is for the sanctification of my family. It is the sanctification for my church. As Christ carried the cross, but understood why he was carrying the cross, when it comes time for you to pick up that cross and follow him, don't be dismayed with the things that you will face. But let the knowledge of what the scriptures have to say shape your thinking. Do not let your situation define the love of God. Instead, you let the love of God, as it is revealed in the Scriptures, define your situation. See, God is moving every aspect of history, from the building up of nations to whatever's happening in your home. Building up of the nations, tearing down of the nations, to what is happening in your home, to your good, to the glory of Christ. And as you study Christ, definitions are given to what you are experiencing. And there is no reason for despair, but every reason for hope. Therefore, I urge you, as we start a new year, I urge you to grow in the knowledge and in grace of Jesus Christ. If you believe that you're a Christian, then see to it that you make progress in being heavenly minded. When you face difficulty, you let the peace of God keep your hearts and your minds still. Let the Scriptures give you a clear vision and a good understanding of what you are going through. And the peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds. Great is the faithfulness of Christ. He will never leave you nor forsake you. But you will never know that unless you grow in the knowledge and in grace of Christ. Let's pray.